Today on the 21st Show, it's a post-Thanksgiving musical feast as we listen back to some of our favorite Illinois musicians we've talked with in the past few months. First, the indie pop sounds of Emily the Band, based out of Peoria.
Then you're gonna realize, you should've said goodbye.
Then, Zachary the Artist, a poet, muralist, and rapper out of Springfield.
I walked outside unknowingly knowing I had something on my back today. Stepped inside my school with no teachers that looked like me, forced to Google pictures that said my hair was done unprofessionally.
And bluegrass meets punk rock, courtesy of the band Hollow Down out of Peoria.
I heard a song that made me sad, cause I heard a song that made me sad, cause I heard a song that made me sad.
I'm Brian Mackey. That's all coming up today on the 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. But first, the news. From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And this day after Thanksgiving, we're taking a break from our regular Friday news and politics roundtables and giving over the entire show to some of our favorite Friday music segments from the past months. We begin with Emily the Band. They're a three-piece indie alt-pop queer girl group based out of Peoria. The namesake is Emily Antonacci on vocals and ukulele. Cammie Proctor is on guitar, vocals, and melodica. And Abby Haste does drums and percussion. Right now, we're hearing a track they submitted to NPR's Tiny Desk Contest. It's Blurred Lines and Pretty Words off their debut LP called The Heartbreak Album.
Take me back to the word go. Tell me I'm not good enough.
Emily, welcome to the 21st Show first. And what inspired the song Blurred Lines and Pretty Words?
Oh, gosh. So that song is inspired by my, like, first romantic endeavor that was, like, knowingly reciprocated. There's a track called The One Till the End that I wrote when I was 12 that's on the album, and that was about a romantic endeavor that was not reciprocated. And also, I don't think
as they are when you're 12,
right?
Often, yes.
And I don't think I ever carried, like, a whole conversation with the, like, person, the love interest. It was, you know, it was a rough time, but anyway, Blurred Lines and Pretty Words is about that first reciprocated one, and that relationship ended in kind of a, like, fuzzy, not really knowing what the boundaries were way.
Mm.
And so that person was also, like, a poet of sorts. And so basically I was like, stop saying pretty things and just tell me what you want and what's going to happen.
Cammie, I want to bring you into the conversation now. How did the three of you meet and decide to make music together?
Well, I have known Emily and Abby for quite a while. Emily, I met, well, technically we didn't meet in high school, but we started becoming really good friends in high school. And we are sisters, though not related by blood now. We're basically siblings of the heart. And then Abby, I also met when I was in high school, but not from high school. So Emily and I met in school, but Abby actually met me because I was with another project when I was younger, about 16, and we went to go play a talent show in Abby's hometown. And we ended up being the only band that submitted for the talent show, so it just turned into a paid gig. And we played that day, and it was a four guitarist band. It was three guitars and a bassist, and no drums. And right before the talent show, there was this drummer on stage just shredding it up for quite a while alone. And we were like, whoa, she's, like, awesome. And so after the show, I, like, mustered up the courage to go up to Abby and be like, what's your name? Do you want to be in a band? And luckily, Abby said yes. And then ever since then, like, since we've kind of grown up, we've continued to work together. And of course, Abby is also bestie vibes, is also my sister, though not related by blood. So
from another mother, as they say.
Yes, yeah, sister from another mother.
So Abby, talk about that. So you were in this other group with Cammie for a few years when you were invited to play drums with Emily, the band. How is that pre-existing relationship musical relationship shaped the band over time?
Oh, yeah. I think it's really helped our musical projects to have known each other and have such a good connection for so long, because we're so comfortable with each other and we're such good friends that we can make music together, but we can also have fun and enjoy each other's company while. So it all feels very authentic. And it's just such a good situation to have known these people and gotten to grow so close to them for so long. It's just been such an honor, truly.
So, Emily, as the band's songwriter, what inspires and, I don't know, influences your lyrics? You mentioned some real life experience, reciprocated and otherwise.
Yeah.
But talk about that.
So I think like every song has been inspired by the people in my life, whether that be friends, romantic connections. We have a song called It's On You that is about like racism. So I guess that's not really a person, but it is a thing that sadly lives inside a lot of people. But yeah, it's mainly the people in my life, and my songs are usually a way for me to say things and get my ideas out when I don't feel completely ready to talk directly to somebody. So I guess instead I just share it with everyone else via song on stage every weekend.
The title of that album I mentioned, the Heartbreak album. Mm-hmm. No secret about one of the driving emotions behind a lot of your music. What does it mean to you to be able to share that so publicly?
It's been really wild. I've been sitting on those songs for a long time. Like I said, that first track I wrote when I was 12 and the album came out when I was 21. Basically, it was just my archive of heartbreak songs from 12 until 20. So,
I think
yeah.
A lot of us work hard to hide our innermost thoughts when we were 12.
Uh-huh.
What is it about you that's different from, say, me or many other people who would, you know, just die if people found out what they were feeling at age 12?
Well, it started actually because of a virtual open mic that was led by Mike Ingram and the Canopy Club during the like thick of the pandemic. I had like a friend and mentor, Sarah Marie Dillard. She just sent me the link. She was like, hey, you should maybe do this. And I was like, okay, I'm just sitting in my teenage bedroom hanging out. Why not? So I hopped on one night and just became really good friends with everybody who was on there, and ended up just kind of every week hopping on Monday nights. Like that was my activity, because what else was I up to? And so I just started pulling songs out of my archive. I just have a big Google Drive folder of like every song I've ever written, I guess since I was around 12. But anyway, I pulled that one out. I was like, here's a song I wrote when I was 12, like whatever. It's like not the best quality, but it is certainly fun. And then they were like, wait, this like actually is not bad. Like, I don't know why you're acting like it's bad. So I actually ended up just playing it more and more. And then we're like, you know what? Why not just put it on the album? Because it's us. We don't have anybody to really answer to, since we're so indie. Like, we are marketing, we are recording, we are songwriting, we're all of it. So why not just put this silly little track on the album? So I somehow sang the song in the right key in a little voice memo when I was 12 writing the song, just so I could remember the melody. I wasn't playing ukulele yet, so we ended up using that voice memo on the first, like, the intro track to the album, because it just fit right in. My brain just knew, like, this is the key of C, let's rumble. Yeah.
Then you're gonna realize, you should have said goodbye before she went and hypnotized you. Then she makes these promises and tells you that you can just be friends. Then I can't break your heart, man, 'cause I know you're the one till the end.
First she's gonna take you. Then she's gonna break you. Guess I can't make you fall in love with me.
She says she's gonna love you, love you, love you, then makes a fool of you, of you, of you. Bet she'll never love you, love you, love you like the way I do. But then she makes these promises and tells you that you can just be friends. But I can help your heart mend, 'cause I know you're the one till the end.
Cammie, so when Emily has words, how do you make that into music, flesh it out into a full song?
I appreciate that you asked this question, because this is something I really enjoy talking about. Because especially, specifically with the Heartbreak album, with the exception of the song When Emily Was 12, I was pretty much there alongside Emily in friendship, observing these things that Emily created into lyrics, created into a song. And so I would reflect back on what it was like watching kind of peripherally Emily go through some of these events. And when Emily would come to me and tell me how she was feeling, I have those memories, and I would try to think about what that would sound like, or what little notes or inflections I can pull out of the music to make the listener feel the lyrics that Emily is saying so much more deeply than if those little hints, those little musical subconscious hints, weren't there. And I try to consider that when I'm making arrangements of, like, what can I put forward to make these lyrics hit harder, to make the core emotion of this cut even deeper, or if it's a song of joy, the joy go higher than it would have before. And it's kind of like, If Emily's songwriting is the cake, then it's kind of like my arrangements are like icing and decoration, and Abby comes in on the drums with more icing and more decorations and candles, and then suddenly, you know, it was great before. It's cake, but now it's a decorated cake. It's awesome.
Abby, talk about your own icing and candles then. What is the collaboration like as you are baking an album?
Yeah, I feel like for me, when it comes to writing drum parts for this project, it's been very different than it's been in the past, because I never usually played like this kind of genre of music when I'd like practice by myself or when I was with other projects. So it was something I really had to like practice and get used to. And I feel like I took the approach of having my drum parts kind of, yeah, it was like the icing, but I also like to use it more as like helping out with the foundation, helping like provide a good structure and like boost kind of everything. I like to pay attention to especially what Cammie's doing on guitar, because they just add so much with like the bass, and they do so much with like little guitar accents all the time that I like to try to just complement really well. And so I like to think of my addedness as more of like how to complement everything going on, instead of being like, oh, I'm the drummer, time to do a bunch of crazy fills, time to show off all the time. You know, it's more of just like a foundation, and I like looking at it like that.
Well, as a drummer percussionist myself, sometimes the most important thing you have to know is when not to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily, your band is up front, or maybe I should say out front, about being a queer girl group. What difference does it make for you and your bandmates to be able to identify yourselves that way, to wear it on I was going to say your sleeve, but I guess on your ukulele strap.
it's been really cool. I think we are very lucky to have like families and friends and a community who are like cool and chill and decent people, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess like being accepting and tolerant of queer people should be a given, but sadly it is not always. But that is very much a kind of litmus test of, hey, we're going to put this very core part of our identity, core part of our art, right up front. It is in our bio. It's on our website. Like, if you don't know we're queer, that's not our fault. You didn't do your research. But yeah, it's a litmus test just to make sure that we aren't going to get hate crimes.
Yeah.
I have a comment on this as
Please.
Well, if that's okay. Yeah. Also, too, I am genderqueer as well. I'm non-binary, and I think when I realized that that was part of my identity and I wanted to start expressing myself that way more openly, as a guitarist, I already felt kind of, there were times when I felt really isolated when I was perceived as like a girl or a woman, because unfortunately, there weren't a ton of like femmes that kind of looked like me out doing what I was doing. But in being able to identify ourselves as, you know, a queer girl group, that also allows me to share my, like, genderqueer expression and to show other, you know, genderqueer people, like, hey, like, there is a space for you. If you want to shred on guitar, if you want to do production work, there's other people just like us out there doing it. Because when I realized I was genderqueer, it took me some time to look around and be able to find other genderqueer artists that were, like, doing what I wanted to do. And so now I really, really, really want to be that for other people.
Thank you so much, Emily Antonacci, Cammie Proctor, and Abby Haste are Emily the Band. Thank you for being with us on the 21st Show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. On my lifetime.
Stop blinding hearts with blurred lines and pretty words, baby.
And as we go to break, we'll leave you with a bit more of Emily the Band's song, Blurred Lines and Pretty Words. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
But I won't take back the words I said to you. I'm glad he makes you feel the way you did to me. Hearts with blurred lines and pretty words, baby. Thought the feeling was mutual. The words you spoke on our last phone call. Well, now I
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today, the day after Thanksgiving, we're taking a step back from our usual reporter and political roundtables and highlighting some of our favorite Friday music segments of the past few months. We now turn to Zachary Moore, who goes by Zachary the Artist. That's Zachary, spelled Zuh-C-A-R-I. As her name suggests, she does a lot of different forms of art. Besides being a rapper, she's also a poet, a model, and a muralist. She's based out of Springfield, and right now you're listening to her song, River, from her album, Do Not Disturb.
Every time my mama talks to me, all I see is sadness. Feels what I say, 'cause I'm just a little girl. We be in the hood like Trayvon. I be counting all my days up, if they all number. Will I make it through the summer?
And with us to talk more about her art and work is Zachary herself. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
So let's talk about your stage name. Why Zachary, Zuh-C-A-R-I, as opposed to Zachary as your sort of given name?
Okay, so a while ago, whenever I first started getting into music, and it was around the time when I was trying to release my first project, Do Not Disturb, we came across a problem somebody else had their name published as my government name, so I couldn't get my name published. You guys might know him. His name is Zakari as well. He has a song with Kendrick Lamar called Love off of his Damn album. So I had to change my name. And I know that sometimes, I know growing up, it was hard to pronounce my name, especially with teachers. And I would always have to be like, it's Zakari. So I might as well just have that as my artist name, you know?
Yeah, it does make it easier to pronounce. I will say that. So talk about, how did you get into music? Have you always been passionate about making music?
It actually didn't start with music. My family has always been musically inclined, though. My grandma on my dad's side, she was a singer. And my dad was also in a male singing group back in the day. But for me, though, my artistic side started through my drawings and poetry. Growing up, I found a love for the violin as well and was first chair from seventh grade to my freshman year of high school. Learning to play by ear helped me realize how I could match my vocals to this note too. I didn't take advantage of my voice though until like my junior year of high school when I auditioned for the talent show. There I won first place and I was rewarded with beats, a radio interview, a show, some studio time. But around that same time is when I had lost my brother to gun violence in Decatur, and he ended up being a spark that ignited my release to the album Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, and I want to come back and definitely talk about your brother a little later on. You mentioned playing violin. Do you still play?
I don't, but I do want to get back into it. I had our family actually had financial problems my freshman year of high school. And I wasn't able to continue with it because it was so expensive, but I do want to get back into it.
Wow, that's a bummer. All right, so you mentioned your first EP, Do Not Disturb. How did that come about?
That started as the first couple tracks that were on that project started as we wanted to drop them as singles, but then I was like, I could just turn this into a whole project. That project was like a guideline of what my grieving process was for when I had lost my brother. From the beginning, it's like the first stage is a grief, and then it goes all the way to the end of like acceptance. And I'm still kind of trying to accept that. And you can see that going into my next album. But Do Not Disturb, it covers topics like police brutality, implicit bias, systematic racism, and then also like gun violence and what I see going up in Decatur.
Well, maybe this is a good opportunity. We should listen to a little bit. This is from the song Zintro from the Do Not Disturb EP.
I walked outside unknowingly knowing I had something on my back today. Stepped inside my school with no teachers that looked like me. Forced to Google pictures that said my hair was done unprofessionally. It's the little things that bother me. Mommy, how come they only give me peach crayons? Do I look peach? Today my friend told me my Skittles were too dark to be her friends, but I like all my Skittles. Started to notice what was on my back today. Closed my locker door to find a security guard staring at me. The tardy bell rang, the hallways were empty. He grabbed my arm and pushed me into the dean's office. I was looked up and down and felt what was on my back coming to the surface. The secretary grabbed my shirt and stapled the words, "Keep your child out the sun so much." I ain't have no skin condition. I felt the target that was placed on my back today. I heard them joking and laughing behind doors they thought were closed. I heard the insults. I heard the remarks. I heard everything in the floor. Walls, I felt trapped in called America. Why do I feel trapped and y'all tell us we free? The biggest contradiction. I signed a contract the first time I put blank on my application. I walked home from my third shift to hear the blues and whites conversating about the target they seen when I walked past.
Talk about your writing process.
Okay, sorry, that just got me so hyped. But my writing process for that song, well, poem, I had split it up into three different, I guess you could say, point of views, but they're all in my speaking. The first one is like me aged as an adolescent, growing up, not really knowing what racism is, coming into the world, still trying to figure everything out and having these experiences and coming back home and still trying to just decipher them. And then the second part goes into like my teenage years, going into middle school, all these problems that I had to grow up into. And then the last part is like me now and still trying to figure out my way into the world, but noticing and taking note of all the things that are wrong with the world and what I can do to change them.
You mentioned your brother's, losing your brother to gun violence. Who was your brother in life? Tell us about him.
My brother, his name is Keith Brewer. We lost him back in 2018. He was in prison for a few years. And then when he got out in 2018, I think it was around June, we were ecstatic for him to come home. I was the only one home at the time, actually. And he played football. His number was 89. We had a, I'm not sure if it was a club, but we had a place down in Decatur called Old King's Orchard, and he played football through them. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional.
So you say he came home. What happened with him, if you're comfortable talking about it?
In 2018, it was 3 days before his birthday. It was Labor Day, actually, I think. September 3rd, 3 days after his birthday, he was in a roundabout in Decatur, the south side of Decatur, and someone, I guess, pulled up and asked him a few questions. They acted like they was turning off on him, and then they ended up shooting him, and he was with somebody as well.
I'm so sorry for you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You channeled that, your grief, into your art, yeah? How do you take that grief and channel it into art?
As a kid growing up, when I started with poetry, it was always the poetry, everything that I wrote was dark. And I feel like writing from then and now, like, has always been my outlet. It's always something that, like, if I couldn't talk to people or if there was something on my mind, I would always be able to just turn to my journal and write through there how I felt, even if it wasn't like logical sayings. I'm not sure how to say that, but even if it just came out in metaphors, like, that's how I was able to express myself.
I want to talk about your entry into the Tiny Desk concert, which is how we learned about your work, called How It Feels. This is a new song you submitted. When I can't beg a stranger for some PC and mama stressing, trying to make two ends meet, breaking down and crying at a grown white man's feet. They tell me how I feel to see your brother go to jail, pray you go to heaven, knowing you're already in hell. Gunshots and fireworks, you don't forbid a fairy tale, but the difference is that you can't even really tell. And tell me how I feel. Talk about that.
Okay. My song, How It Feels, it was inspired in the dedication to my brother and others like him. It's on my unreleased album that I haven't dropped yet called Imperfect. So the way you spell that is the I and the M is in parentheses and then imperfect. So the purpose was to present different point of views from the people I seen growing up, as well as vividly describing my experiences growing up as a Black girl in the hood, quote unquote, indicator.
You also mentioned earlier that you writing poetry. Talk a little bit more about that.
Poetry, at first, it started out as just something I kept to myself. I didn't really see like a future with poetry or music at all in general. I thought I was going to be doing like basketball or volleyball or something that entails sports. But sophomore year of high school, I started writing poetry more. I was in a speech class. I found out like that this was something that I actually enjoyed, and then I just ran with it.
I understand you have some poetry to read for us today.
I do. I have a lot of poetry. I didn't know what you guys were in the mood to hear. All right, so the first one I have here for you guys is called Click Boom. There's two types of flashes a Black boy knows. The flash from their second mugshot picture, click boom. And the flash from the 1+8 that got them in that cell, click, boom. I'm not talking math nor science class. Seeming as though that Black boy couldn't learn nothing from either of them anyways, because Black boys aren't taught in white boy schools these days. Black boy taught to, one, grow up, get a job, stop messing around. Two, grow up, get a wife, stop messing around. Three, grow up, boy, stop having babies, stop messing around. He heard grow up 3 times and was still told he had to be the man of the house. Sorry, I'm at his daddy's house. For the fourth grow up quotation being yelled into his ear by his adolescent Black mama, Black boy was just 13. 13 years old, and Black boy lost 3 homies and still don't know how to grieve. Black boy don't have Black school counselor to vent to, just a white lady behind computer desk who Black boy is forced to go to, not to express his feelings, but for discipline on why he acting out in class. Lady, this is not acting, this is real. Black boy is crying out for help, but laughing and disrupting is the only way he feels he can get this attention. Detention, detention, go to detention. Detention, detention, retention. Black boy can't cry, so Black boy pretending to be okay. possessing all these suppressed emotions. So now the only thing he possesses is that 1+8 that got him in that cell in the first place. Revenge in the hood is just an endless cycle of pain from a black boy given to another black boy because they killed my homie too. And one day that black boy gonna be gone. And another black boy is gonna be taken in retaliation of his. Flash, click, boom. There's only two types of flashes a black boy knows. The flash from their second mugshot picture, click, boom. And a flash from the 1+8 that click boomed him into the afterlife too. And that's all for that one.
Wow. I'm just processing that still.
It is a heavy one. I had wrote that back in February 2022.
You can feel the emotion and your passion about it.
Thank you. It's definitely a heavy topic. Growing up in Decatur, you see a lot of kids going missing and childhood friends going missing and people just disappearing. And Decatur really is turning into a ghost town. And it's sad to watch.
Did you want to read your other poem?
Yes. This one is called Black Is. I have wrote this a little after Juneteenth last year. And here goes. Black is. Black is dirty. Black is hidden. Black is negative. Black is the black sheep. Black is non-existent. Black is the absence of color, the absence of pain, the absence of absence, the absence of. Black is. Black Monday, Black Plague, Black Mail, Black Market. Black is criminality. Black is the bandana wrapped around the face of a criminal. Black is scary. Black is hostility. Black is aggression. Black is, there's a black man walking by my house. I need police here right away, please. Black is. Black is beneath me. Black is night. Black is walking under street lights knowing your mama said bring your black A home. Black is seeing bright red colors with badges holler at you. Come here, boy. What you doing walking around these parts? Where you headed, black boy? Isn't it funny how the color black is associated with everything negative, but I still have to mark my job application with black. Black is a black mama finding the remains of her son sprawled out on Martin Luther King Street. Black is, nah, not my baby, Lord, no, please. Black is black. Black is me. Black is on purpose. Black is strong. Black is struggle. Black is something ghetto. Black is hustle. Black is. And that's all for that one.
When people who have not lived the experience you're describing in these poems, how do they react to you when they hear that?
Honestly, in awe. I've done a couple shows where I've done poetry as just the only thing that I do. And they're left with no words. They have to feel everything. They feel everything that I'm saying because it's all genuine and true.
What do you hope people take away from your work? Broadly speaking, music, poetry, art.
I want them to know that I'm a person that they can relate to. My 19 years of being here on this earth, like, I've been through a lot, and everybody goes through things. Everybody has trauma. I want them to know, like, I'm that too. I'm them too. We're all connected. We're all going through something. So if we can relate just off of what you heard in this song, even though our lives are completely different, that's all that matters to me.
Zakari the artist, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story and your art with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me, y'all.
Everything happens for a reason. I'm not the strongest soldier, please come lead us. Looking for a sign, give me the meaning. I gave my love out when it wasn't needed. Sunday issue, bring me my Monday tissue. Heard them shots outside, mama don't stand by the window. If I could change it, I would. If I could escape it, I would. Candles on the...
And that was Zakari the artist, an artist of many forms based out of Springfield. As we go to break, we are going out with her song Zoutro. Next up, the dark folk music of Hollow Down, based out of Peoria. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
Speaking city grieving, we on section 8. Daddy leaving, time receding, keep my head on straight. If I could escape it, I would. If I could change it, I would. Loud sirens, blood dripping down the sidewalk. We know everybody, but nobody wanna talk. If I could change it, I would. If I could escape it, I would. Strongest soldier, please come lead.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. All this hour, the day after Thanksgiving, we've been listening back to some of our favorite Friday music segments from the past few months. And we turn now to Hollow Down, a band based out of Peoria that specializes in darker-sounding folk music. Hollow Down consists of Perry Brubaker on bass and John Howard on guitar. Let's listen to more of their song, Redemption, from their 2018 NPR Tiny Desk Contest submission.
With luck, work, or everything, the best moments you allow could be just seconds away. Sing a song of hope. Sing a song of despair. It's not going to save your soul, but it won't drag you to hell. It's not a song of redemption. Oh, it's not a relief. It's just the way that it is, and that's beautiful to me.
So let's talk about the origins. How did you two meet?
We met in 2019. I grew up in Peoria and started this band in Northern California in 2013 or something like that.
I was firmly in high school.
and the band was through a couple different versions, and then sort of after the band was on tour and our bus caught on fire, which, long story short, landed with myself and one of the other members of the band at that time coming back to Peoria, and we were kind of working a different version of Hollow Down in Peoria at that point. And John and I met playing kind of a more, not straight traditional bluegrass, but we met playing in a bluegrass band together,
kind of jam grass,
where
I was playing fiddle and you were playing upright with our buddy Daniel Watkins and Ryan Kroll. And that's where we first met. That was 2019. And then the world ended.
I thought for a second you were going to say your bus broke down in Peoria, and so that's where you decided to stay. COVID happened.
It broke down in Northern California. But it was a firm conclusion to that tour that was underway, because it had been my home of 3 years at that point. And
oh wow, yeah,
yeah.
So maybe we can listen to a little more music. You previously released an album from 2014, which is the self-titled Hollow Down. What can you tell me? What are the origins of the band and that album?
So I had sort of a couple of the songs that are on that album, geez, maybe three of them, including Redemption, I sort of wrote on my own. I was playing in a different band that was more of kind of a country blues band at that point. And I wrote a few of those songs and shopped them around to a couple people that I was playing with, and nobody was particularly interested. And then Ethan Nazzati of another band called Gunsafe, I heard that he had departed his band, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get with him. And so he and I pretty instantly got together. We got Grant Skoglund and Jake Morehouse in the mix, and I think in the span of like 9 months we wrote the rest of the material for that album and got it recorded. So it was really kind of a real incubation period, and all of that was sort of done and cut within I think 9 months. And then that version of the band kind of splintered and fell away as we knew a couple band members were leaving. And that album is the product of that. And finally, so many years later, John and I are getting to work on the second album. We've got all the material plus some in the bag. We're just working on nailing down where we're recording, which I think we have, and just need to get to it.
Nice. All right, let's take a listen to another track. This is from that earlier album. This is called EFY.
I heard a song that made me sad, cause I heard a song that made me sad, cause I heard a song that made me sad, cause I hate to hear of people dying young. I
a song that made me weep, cause I heard a song that made me weep, cause I heard a song that made me weep, cause I hate to hear of people dying young.
So your sound takes, I don't know, what would you say, like a darker approach to folk music, bluegrass? I have my own sort of ideas of the Venn diagram I might use to describe it, but I want to hear how you describe it yourselves to other people.
Well, it definitely is. It is kind of a Venn diagram. I mean, kind of, it obviously it shows, I mean, we definitely have the Americana and folk angle to what we do, but obviously I'm a punk rock kid at heart. So having a mix of electric and acoustic instruments was always part of the thing from the jump.
I mean, it was, so I straight up grew up going to picking circles around Illinois my whole life. My grandpa took me everywhere south of Chicago, pretty much, playing fiddle. And so that's just the sound that I have in my head when I think about music. But then it's also, you don't have that always. So like, obviously, like one of our sounds that were is like Tom Waits and like jazz standards, but mm-hmm. it's also like those like original murder ballads and stuff like that. It's,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Long Black Veil, I mean, when you say murder ballads, that's what we're talking, yeah,
like Long Black Veil. Another one is Boxcar Tragedy. That's not what it's called, but that's what it's called. Knoxville Girl, like, right. Like, that's another good one. But it's just all the way that I once heard it is all of the songs, all of the folk songs are all the things that make up a good soap opera. Like, yeah. Murder, cheating. It's all the things that make a good story from yesteryear are still good stories today. So that's what we're trying to tap into, is that quote-unquote darker side of those stories.
Yeah. You know, you can imagine that like at the Pick and Circle at a bluegrass show, they don't want the Rollins Band or, you know, Black Flag coming in there. Likewise, right. At a punk show, you know, you don't have to have a fiddle in the band to play punk rock. So how did you make that peanut butter and chocolate, you know, melding?
I don't really know. It's kind of, it's just sort of a pastiche of all the stuff that I want to listen to. And it's kind of corny and cliched to say, but I feel like Hollow Down's music is what I kind of always wanted to hear, but haven't heard. And so, I mean, the influences range pretty far. I mean, I'm a big fan of everything from like Les Claypool to Linda Perry. And I feel like, you know, when we're coming up with ideas to throw into the mix, there's not a whole lot that's off table as long as we can sort of put it through the lens of what we do, you know?
So let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Perry Brubaker and John Howard, who together are the band Hollow Down, based out of Peoria. It's sort of Americana bluegrass, but with a much darker punk rock influence, you might say. I hesitate to describe it. You just got to hear it for yourself. I'm curious about your creative process. When I joined, we're talking via Zoom today, as we do for so many of these conversations. I just heard a little snippet of, and I'm not even sure who said what, but I take it and send it to him and say, make this weird. So talk to me about your creative process. How do you take a sound or take a song from, you know, traditional instrumentation and sort of, I'm not going to say muddy it up, but fuzz it up, electronify it, pick your term.
That's kind of how it often gets put. You know, I'm okay as a writer personally. Like, a couple of those songs I wrote outright, I think, like I said. But it really, finding the sound has really been a collaborative process from the beginning. So now, just for example, like with the material that we're going to record for this album, a couple of them started with snippets that I wrote. A couple of them started with snippets that John wrote. Even like, we have Ethan Nazzotti from the original form of the band, who will still send me little sort of snippets or songs that are in various forms of completion and just say, basically, like what you said, muddy this up, basically scruff it up and make a hollow down out of song out of it. Like our Tiny Desk contest video this year, that song was sent to me more or less as a complete song, but it sounded far different. It was kind of more of a folky song. And then, I don't know, just at some point while we were playing it together, we stumbled upon the idea for what it became.
As much, for lack of a better word, harm that Grateful Dead has done to American music, jamming is not one of them. Like, that's, you will, you need to almost forget a song to learn a song. If that makes any sense. It's like if I show up with a Queen song to band practice, it's not going to sound like Queen. It's going to sound like Hollow Down. So it's almost not muddy this up. It's more, here's a song, play it the way that you would anyway.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how to define exactly how we get to where we get with the stuff. It just ends up being what feels right to us. It's great. It's been great the last few years having John in the band, because he and I, we both come at music from very different perspectives in terms of background, but I feel like the place where we meet in the middle is kind of it's a real sweet spot in that sort of Venn diagram, you know?
Well, let's take a listen. We've been talking a little bit about the song Velocity, which was this year's entry to the NPR Tiny Desk Concert. Let's take a listen to that.
All moving out through the dark, in the hope can a little catch spark. Well, my mind's built like a train. Yeah. It's breast calm, feeling now. Had nothing to do with it anyhow. Yeah, faster than a Santa Fe. Yeah. If you wanna be here, I can keep you safe here.
So what's next? You mentioned this album coming up. When, if people want to find your music, when can they look for that? Where can they hear you playing?
So we're hoping to, in the next month or so, we want to get at least like a 3-song EP up and available. We put everything up on kind of the normal channels. The website's hollowdown.com. We end up, you know, having it live on Apple Music and Spotify and all of that sort of stuff. And right now it's really just, we have a couple solid contenders for who our engineer is going to be. We just need to lock in the time and figure it out. And I think our big challenge with this one is, you know, obviously the first album was a 4-piece rock band. And I think this time we're really going to try to thread the needle of making it clear that the band's a duo while also bringing in some guest spotters to really fill it out. So we're pretty excited about what we've got in the works.
And that is all the time we have on our show today. Perry Brubaker and John Howard are with the band Hollow Down. We're going out with their song, Johnny. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. We will talk with you again on Monday.